There's a lot for us to consider, and I won't take too much time, but before anything, it's often confusing. You hear Jesus saying, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's a little confusing. It doesn't mean you're supposed to neglect your mother or daughter or put them to the side. But in hindsight, or in the bigger picture rather, zooming out, when we're called to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, as much as you love your daughter or son, raise your hand if you love your daughter or son a lot. Anybody love your daughter? I mean, maybe not today, but like normally, you love your daughter or son a lot. And vice versa, hopefully, you know, you love your father or mother a lot. And our Lord is actually trying to say, like, as much as that is, and it's a lot, relatively speaking, it should seem small compared with the love that you have for God, which means a lot of love for God. You look at your calendar, how much time you spend on your son or daughter, a lot. All the more so, he's saying, a lot of time and energy and affection towards God himself, towards me. He's also making a claim about himself. Who am I to dare to say that? If you can read between the lines, our Lord is claiming his divinity. And either you leave him and walk away because he's crazy, or you submit everything to him because he's God. So just for us to think about, I won't stay there, but I do want to draw attention. He says, whoever receives one of these little ones who is my disciple, the reward will be greater than that of receiving a prophet, a righteous, wise person. You are my disciple. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the big guy. Not Santa Claus. The big guy. And it's important for us to ask ourselves, disciple of Jesus Christ, do you know who you are? Do you realize who you are? For him to dare to say that about you. And I was torn between two movies, ready? Moana or Lego Movie? Okay, one or the other. So I went with Moana, although it's the same message, I think, in Lego Movie. Anyway, there's a dynamic in that movie. There's a theme going on. The people in Moana's tribe, they've forgotten who they are. And between her father and that generation, they got intimidated by the risks of really living to the full and the risks of the sea. And so they've kind of like lost their vision. They've become a people without a mission. People going nowhere. Literally, they're islanders, just all about the island. That's their life. It's about coconuts and fishing and just settling on the affairs of the island. They're sedentary and absorbed in their daily routine. They're focused within the earthly horizon of petty needs. They're oblivious. Her proud father shows Moana one time, takes her up this high, lofty mountain and shows her like the pride of their people. And it's one stone of a previous political ruler on top of a previous political ruler, stone upon stone. And she's not impressed. What a boring horizon. And there's a mantra in her village that you don't mess with that system, because happiness is right here where you are. And that's it. Nothing else. Nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing more transcendent. They've forgotten that they were not islanders. There's that scene where Moana discovers the boats hidden in the cave. And she's like, oh my gosh, we're not islanders. Fiona, what were they? They weren't islanders, Fiona. They were what? Voyagers. Yes, you get a lollipop. They were voyagers. We were voyagers. Like she says it just like that with a little pitch in her voice. We were voyagers. There's so much more going on. They'd forgotten that. They'd forgotten also they were all in this together. They're facing a greater threat and greater needs and towards a greater cause than the earthly petty stuff around them, the secular concerns. And she feels a call within herself first. She recognizes it. For some reason, she had that sensitivity that some of us forget. We don't listen to that urge within our hearts. Isn't your life something more than just about money? Isn't there something deeper in your heart? Even about making sure that you have a house and a boat and all these things, once you have all these things, don't you want more? What is that in your heart that drives you beyond the reef, beyond the secular horizons of her community? And so she brought that message to them. We were not made to remain confined within the reef of secular tasks, worldly priorities, fleeting things that we just, you do one, you have 10 more waiting for you. Something calls us beyond that, to a cause greater than economics or politics or health or tolerance, all these things. Even hurricane preparation. It's a great thing, but it's just one thing. The wound that we face, think about like with COVID, the wound is not like a COVID epidemic or some other current hot topic in our society. The real wound, the perennial ruining epidemic of all time, is sin. It's the hardness of our hearts. Turned against God and against the way that Jesus showed us, a way that our own hearts were made to live, we're hardened against that. They say, I think there's a reference, before the world can change, hearts must change. I was struck during the COVID pandemic, everyone was stuck in their homes, you couldn't go out, and the Pope gave an address. He does this thing called the Urbi et Orbi. He did it for this particular circumstance. I feel like the entire world was listening to the Pope on this one particular occasion, if you remember it, a few years ago. And he said, Lord, we didn't listen to you. We were not shaken awake by wars or injustice across the world, nor did we listen to the cry of the poor or even to our ailing planet. We carried on regardless, thinking we could stay healthy in a world that was always sick with the disease of sin. The fight for your life, for your soul, is deeper, more serious, and it is now. That's why I love St. Paul's introduction. Are you unaware? You know, he's talking to baptized Christians. Like, they've been saved, you could say, but he's challenging them. Hey, are you unaware? Have you forgotten? Jesus says, whoever loves these worldly concerns, and he's like hyperbole, he's talking about like mother, father, son, and daughter, but all these worldly concerns that can fill our hearts and minds so easily. Whoever loves these things more than me is not able to follow me. Can't get to where I'm going, and the world by itself is passing away. And sad, because so often we do see in our first world church, in our first world society, where do our minds get preoccupied? What are we most focused on? We think about the gift you're going to give to your child or your grandchild or your godchild. It's like, well, I know he wants that new Nintendo game, or she needs a gift card to her favorite mall shopping place, whatever. All these things concern us. Making sure that my daughter has a cell phone, and not the refurbished one. Like, she needs the newest i65. Where are we anyway in the iPhones? Anyway, so it has to be the best for my kid. But just ask yourself, you know, when's the last time I taught my loved one how to pray with our Lord? How to just sit there still and pray. Dads, when's the last time you sat there with your son? And after you taught him how to fish and went on a fishing trip, you took time in the boat to say, you know what, we're going to take a moment to pray a decade of the rosary. Because Mary's important to us. When's the last time you sat there with your family at the dinner table and say, you know what, we've had a rough week this past week. Y'all saw me argue with your dad. It was kind of rough. We're going to go to confession tomorrow. We're going to teach our loved ones how to trust God in the midst of a world that you can't trust, situations you can't predict. Because that's the first thing first. And our Lord is calling us out. You seek all these things. You seek your life, you're going to lose it. Forsake these lesser things, these petty things, for my sake, and you'll get all of it. But unfortunately, we're often cut off from God and from that deeper purpose. And the wound that we face today seems to be hemorrhaging when you look at our society, when you look at our family dynamic. There's a movie that just came out. I do recommend it. It's not as intense as it looks. It's called Nefarious. Nefarious. And it's about a demonic-possessed inmate in prison. And if you've ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, the movie's like watching that book on screen. It's like listening to the devil like kind of talk about how he's working today. At one point, this modern priest comes in to pray over him or whatever he's going to do. We find out later it's unfortunate. The devil asks him, so wait a minute, so you don't believe in sin or exorcism, anything like that? And the priest's like, no, we got past all that. We've evolved beyond that. You need psychological help and therapy and I'll go get... Oh. It's like, wait a minute, that's your job. How did you forget that, priest? And sometimes in our Catholic communities, like, have we forgotten what the real battle is all about? It's not the petty things about who When you're arguing with your spouse, who didn't bring the trash out yesterday? Who forgot to do this errand? Or who's the reason why we're late for mass? Whatever. Those things don't matter. They're so petty, and yet we give them so much time and energy. I'm going to win this argument. I should have said this. How much time we waste after an argument of what I should have said? What was it all about anyway? Be one of my disciples. Do you know who you are? Being a member of the body of Christ, the church. Does the church even know today? First World American Church, does she realize who she is? There's so much pettiness sometimes even in the church. So much division, so much everyone going their own way. You look at a church around the world today divided between liberal, conservative, Protestant, Catholic, 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 whatever, Christian. Even in like society, our parochial church, like my parish versus your parish, our Catholic school over your Catholic school, we're all on different pages. Even sometimes our ministries are spread out in different directions. Like, do we realize what we're all about? As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so I send you for my mission. Do we realize that? The salvation of the world, in whose hands is it? It's in your hands, my hands. Whether or not, who was I going to pick on? Whether or not Abby gets to heaven, if Abby gets to heaven, whose job is it that Abby has every opportunity to get to heaven? Our job. Well, I didn't volunteer for PSR. That's not my responsibility. Whose responsibility is PSR, faith formation? Right here. Our job. Own it. Own it. That's the whole message. Own it. You are sent. You know the word mass? You come to mass. It doesn't necessarily mean like mass population, large amounts of people. It's from the Latin. We forget it because we don't do that, but we say misa est, the mass. You are sent out. That's who you are, sent. And we're all in this together. That's what a parish is. It's trying to bring everyone together to work strategically on the same page to have the impact we are called to have as Christ's church, Christ's people. The Alleluia verse is actually very profound. You are a holy people, a consecrated nation, a priestly people set apart to announce the message of the gospel. That's what needs to fill our hearts and minds, our calendars, where Jesus says, whoever loves your worldly stuff more than those things, time to throw out that calendar and fill a new one because you're going the wrong direction. I'll read one more quote from Pope Francis because he talked about church, what it means to be the church. What is the church? What is our mission? No one is saved by himself or herself individually or by his or her own efforts. God attracts us by taking into account the complex interweaving of personal relationships entailed in the life of a human community. Those relationships matter. These relationships matter. Well, I don't even know who that person is on the other side of the church. That's a problem because you're supposed to be working together. This people, which God has chosen and sent, is the church. Jesus did not tell the apostles to form some exclusive or elite group. He said, go make disciples of all nations and all peoples. Being church means being God's people, Christ's disciples, one of my disciples, amidst my disciples, in accordance with the great plan of his fatherly love. This means that we are to be God's leaven in the midst of the dough of humanity. We make it rise higher beyond the reef again with Moana. It means proclaiming and bringing God's greater salvation to our world that is so sick and starving in its worldly malnourishment, which often does go astray like the prodigal son over and over again. A world that needs to be encouraged, given hope, and strengthened on the way. The church must be a place of mercy freely given, where everyone can feel welcomed, loved, forgiven, and encouraged to live the good life of the gospel of joy. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's what we are about. That's what needs to fill the calendar. Fourth of July calendar. What are you doing? Well, we're going to fireworks and we're going boating. And then somebody's got to remember to cook the hot dogs. So we're going to spend 2 hours at Costco making sure we have everything. Okay. What's he saying? What's he asking? And what difference is the 4th of July this year going to make for eternity for someone in your circles? Wait, I'm supposed to worry about that? That's what he's saying. And time is running out. Individually, our time, my time, your time is running out. Time doesn't stop. I'll share with you this and I'll leave off. You hear me saying a lot more recently. I mean, I know this is a bad weekend because it's the 4th of July weekend, but look around for just a moment at the empty pews. A lot of empty pews. Before Mass, we only needed two communion stations because there are like 20 people here. Who's responsible for reaching out to people to invite them to be here? Well, I don't want to come because Father talks for 2 hours. Okay, we can fix that. Y'all can put the suggestion box ideas. But one day, there'll be so few people, perhaps, that we won't need a church here, and we'll close it. And you don't need to have the Blessed Sacrament in Luling because there are not enough people looking for it. Whose fault will that be? Our fault. I'm not trying to get too distracted, but we had an Acts retreat for women, which was beautiful. We'd planned one for men, and a team of 20-something men had prepared talks and reflections. And it was a great opportunity for men to come together. You know what we did with that retreat? We canceled it because nobody signed up. Because we were too busy in the things Jesus is saying. Whoever loves those things more than a retreat with me, not worthy of me. Go find somebody else. I mean, he hasn't said that yet, but the day is coming when he might. Say a prayer for our church, and we do pray for the renewal of the church because it needs a renewal. We ask the Holy Spirit to rekindle the fire of the church, the fire of your heart, my heart, the fire of this Holy Family community, your families together, working together, coming together, building bridges where there's division or isolation. We are not islanders focused on our own personal private home island. We're voyagers meant to be out there making the difference in the community of Luling, New Orleans, and beyond. And the domino effect you can have is real. Don't you dare underestimate it. But it starts with you, starts with me, starts with the people closest to you. May the Holy Spirit rekindle that fire. When Jesus said, I've come to set fire to the earth, he meant it, not literally, but with the spiritual flame of the change that comes with the gospel. If you're falling asleep, okay, you might want to realize this is to you. I'll fall asleep tomorrow. Anyway, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.